62. Keeper of the Keys. As for Valor, our dealings are none of your business, for largely the same reasons. Can you not leave her alone? Dalinar didn't spend long in the chaos this time. Using the little engraved stone, he pulled himself, Gab, and Navani through to the next vision almost immediately. In moments, the three of them appeared on solid, familiar stone. Storms, it was good to feel rock beneath his feet. He turned and saw another camp full of old-fashioned tents populated by humans of mixed heritage. Few Shin except Ishar and maybe Ash. He picked out many individuals here who might have been Alethi, Vaden, Reshi, Marathi, Thalen, and Azish. No Horn Eaters, Natin, Iriali, or their cousins, the Rirans. A few small horses carried packs nearby, but he still didn't see any wagons, nor any permanent buildings. Glancing around, he spotted Jezrian, who wore a cloak and tunic of a rough blue cloth. "We're on the other side of the mountains this time, based on these trees," Navani said. She touched a nearby branch and the leaves pulled in. "We've gone with them on their expedition to Aesir, perhaps? So maybe only a few weeks have passed between visions for these people?" Shalash stood by a tent, and she now appeared like a mature woman in her 20s. She carried a spear.
"I think it's been more than a few weeks," Dalinar said. "Look at Shalash. And Ishar. See him over there, walking with Jezrian to that tent? Both look exactly as they do during our era. This is it. What I wanted. The day when..."
"When they became truly immortal," Navani said, holding Gab's hand.
"I found this stone disc," Dalinar explained, "which connects Nael and Jezrian. I knew Nael had to be there when the Oath Pact was formed."
They did seem to be actively at war, judging by the people carefully chipping out new stone arrowheads, because the chipped edges looked less refined than those of steel arrowheads. Dalinar had imagined the process was haphazard. Now, as he saw the nappers expertly crafting them with stone tools and leather to scrape against, his perspective changed. These were masters, creating weapons with as much skill and care as a modern swordsmith. For the first time, he had a glimpse of how Jasnah understood history. He wished he had a few hours to go talk to those nappers and the Fletchers beside them, to see their work in detail and experience a world where this was cutting-edge technology.
"The disc worked," he said to Navani, checking his clock, "and we didn't even lose an hour between visions. I want to witness today's events, but afterward we have thousands of years to cover before reaching the Fall of Honor and the secrets of how to obtain his power. We'll need to find a faster way."
"Agreed," Navani said. "For now, though, I'm just glad we managed to get here, to this day."
Renorin appeared in a vision, wearing something between a robe and a very loose dress, blue, tied at the waist. He glanced around, trying not to look panicked. He could do this, support Shallan, find the Ghost Bloods, attack them. Reaffirming the goal calmed him, let him assess his surroundings. He was in a hogshide tent, which was comforting. When he was outdoors, there could be a lot to see, too much to keep track of. He stood on a rough-woven rug, dyed blue and made of coarser fibers than he was used to. He wished he could feel it with his toes, but he was wearing slippers. People were talking outside, but in here he was alone. Alone. That sent a spike of alarm through him. He was supposed to stay close to Shallan, yet they appeared to have been split up as they were sent into the vision.
"I'm sorry," Gliss said. "This is not the vision I intended. We missed one. One that started right after. But Renorin, your father is here. Outside."
Someone pushed into the tent, but it wasn't his father. It was an older man, bald, with a white beard, squared off like an Arden's. He crossed the room hurriedly, and was followed into the tent by a woman with flaming red hair and a kind of militaristic outfit of hogshide and fur.
"The time has arrived," the older man said, stalking straight up to Renorin. "Are you ready? Can you do what I asked?"
Oh, storms, Renoran thought, shying away. Dared he hope one of these was Shallan or Relaine? Like before, they would be wearing the face of someone else in the vision. How could he signal to his friends who he was without revealing himself?
Well, the man demanded.
I'm ready, Renoran forced out. Ishar, the red-headed woman said, stepping closer to the man. Are you certain about this plan?
Ishar? A herald? Or just named after a herald? He did have the look of many of the paintings. Storms.
I've spent decades planning, Ishar said. He then gestured to Renarin. And do you know anyone more capable than Videl?
Videl? Another herald?
Yes, said the red-headed woman, almost certainly Chanaranach. You, Ishar. You're more capable than all of us.
I will facilitate the bond, he said. But I need someone with skill in regrowth to make certain our immortality and to make of us deities.
Jezrian doesn't want to be a deity, Channa said. We're going along with this, but it worries me, Ishar, how you speak sometimes.
It is only because I feel it has to be done, Ishar said. Right, Videl?
These weren't real people. This wasn't a real situation. That didn't make him any less nervous, but if he had faced the fused, he could face these.
Immortality, he said. Is that so important to you?
Of course not, Ishar said, perhaps too quickly. I want to protect the world, as Jezrian has demanded. Immortality is a side effect.
Seems selfish, Renarin said, and Chana nodded. He wasn't certain he did see it as selfish, but, well, people argued when they had big emotions.
Haven't you felt it?
Ishar asked him, his tone changing from defensive to concerned.
Doesn't it unnerve you? Our body is aging, albeit slowly. You may think I'm selfish, but I am frightened of old age, Videl. I do not want to be senile for 1,000 years. We brought the people to this cursed world with its treasonous inhabitants. We burned the old one. So I'm going to fix things. I need the time to do so.
Channa eyed him, but finally nodded. Hesitant, Renarin did likewise. It didn't appear either of these was secretly one of the Ghostbloods.
Be ready to take the bond, Ishar said, and accept the power of honor. I need you for this, Videl. I'll be back soon.
As Dalinar was studying the camp, someone walked past, saw Gav, and mumbled the same thing from the previous vision. What an odd spren. Apparently the visions still chose to present Gav as a spren to explain his presence. People would see him, then shake their heads and move on, ignoring him from there on out.
I wonder, Navani said, if we could find an anchor that will guide us through multiple visions. Something relevant at a number of points in the future. That might help us jump more quickly between them.
Dalinar nodded, considering that. But how to do it? Navani knelt, putting Gav down. He was old enough that carrying him was difficult, even if he was small for his 5 years.
Gemheart, she asked. Are you all right?
I don't like this, Gav whispered. I don't like how things keep changing.
Don't worry, Navani said, giving him a hug. We'll go home soon. Remember, nothing in here can hurt you. It's pretend.
You want something here? He asked. You're looking for something you lost?
Looking, Dalinar said, trying to find the words to explain it. For a way to become a mighty warrior, capable of defeating the greatest enemy I've ever known.
That was evidently the right thing, because Gav looked interested for the first time.
I want that, Grandpa, he whispered. I want that too.
They crossed the camp toward Jezrian, and Dalinar spotted more signs that this was a war camp. Those men jogging back into the camp? Scouts. They wore no armor, not even leathers, just some strange animal skins. They had the build of runners and carried bows, but no spears. There were virtually no women. He was accustomed to scribes and female quartermasters and nowadays female radiants. Here, he didn't even see camp followers. Some men were washing clothing in a barrel, and he figured that they didn't have soulcasters for food or infrastructure. That hampered large military movements, so you had to have smaller teams, each trained to do more jobs, to stay mobile. He passed some men butchering the carcass of a large numal, a type of mid-sized shell beast he'd seen occasionally in the West. An army here likely provisioned itself by following the herds while on campaign. Dalinar halted near the butchers, spotting something.
What? Navani whispered.
They have thrown the gem heart in with the scrap ligaments and the broken carapace chunks, he whispered back. They don't seem to know what it is.
In many beasts, the gem heart wasn't so glorious and brilliant as it was in a chasm fiend. This one's cloudy, inch-long gemstone was covered in a web of sinew, but still, that had more value than the meat. The Azish ranched these beasts in great numbers, using their inferior gem hearts to make bronze with their soulcasters. So strange. They moved on, and Dalinar noticed other oddities. It smelled wrong. Even the sweat of the bodies was somehow different, more musky, more pungent. He could hear hogshide flaps being beaten for cleaning, but no familiar sounds like the sharpening of swords or the clang of buckets. This was almost an alien world, yet they did appear to be preparing for an upcoming skirmish. He could pick that out in their quick motions, hurried as if they were trying to finish on a deadline. Or maybe... Yes, his answer came as the sky began to darken. High storm. They were on the east side of the mountains, exposed. Why was nobody running for cover? And what kind of cover could all these loose tents offer anyway? He grabbed Gav in both arms, planning to run for a hillside, but the wind's voice spoke in his mind.
Hiding isn't necessary, the wind said. They prayed, and Honor listened to such prayers during this time. He will modulate the storm in this small region, preventing it from destroying his faithful.
He glanced at Navani, whose eyes were wide. She'd heard it too. They stood in the center of the ancient camp, Dalinar's nerves taut as bowstrings until rain started falling. Along with a gentle wind streaming among the soldiers, almost visible, a thick wind, turgid, lazy. Men in the camp stood up and looked toward the sky. They didn't try to get out of the warm rain, though they laughed and pointed at passing windspren. Gavinor relaxed.
Oh, the child said softly. I feel warm.
Blood of my fathers, Dalinar thought. It's true.
He did feel warm, from a blossom of heat within. He thought he recognized that warmth from somewhere, and it was accompanied by a faint but audible tone that vibrated against his soul with the smooth, satisfying touch of a polishing cloth on a sword. Renarin stood there, hearing rainfall on the tent and feeling overwhelmed. Storms, it sounded like today, was the founding of the Oath Pact. Still, he needed to find the others. We should have agreed on some sort of hand signal or something, he thought, searching a nearby tabletop for a weapon. He didn't find any, though the buckle on a small leather strap gave him something to fidget with. A moment later, someone else entered, a woman who looked Vaden, wearing vibrant green clothing. Renarin drew farther back into the shadows of the tent, worried he'd have to navigate his way through another conversation. The woman glanced around, noticed him, then turned indifferently and started studying the ceiling. Then she hummed briefly. Wait, that had been one of the rhythms.
Relaine?
Renarin guessed, stepping into the light.
It is you, the woman said, looking relieved. I thought it might be from the fidgeting.
Relaine rushed over.
We can understand people this time, but I have no idea what I'm doing.
Did you locate Shallan?
Not yet, he said. I appeared and started walking around awkwardly until a bald human passed by and told me to go in here, as it was almost time.
That was Ishar, Renarin said. Ishi Ellen, one of the heralds.
we're about to see the Oath Pact be sworn.
And the Ghostbloods want to interfere with that?
No, remember, this isn't actually the past, Renarin said.
Relaine didn't have experience with Dalinar's visions.
The Ghostbloods think following Dalinar will guide them to Mishram's prison.
Renarin frowned.
I don't know why they'd think that, since Dalinar is hunting for what happened to Honor. Unless,
Relaine finished, the events are connected.
Storms. And the Ghostbloods know that somehow.
It's all wrapped up in one knot, Relaine said, nodding. The fall of your god, the imprisonment of one of ours, the Radiants walking away from their vows and the Singers ending up in slave form.
Renarin, there are so many secrets here. We're only here to stop the Ghostbloods, Renarin said.
But what if we could do more, Relaine said. What if we found the prison, so we could discover what truly happened, not merely to the listeners, but to all Singers?
He hummed to an excited rhythm.
I think Shallan was right to bring us. We need to know these secrets. I need to know them.
Because you're a Singer, Renarin realized.
If we do go as far as Shallan once and reach the prison ourselves, a Singer should be involved, not just humans.
No offense, Relaine said, his rhythm changing.
He hummed a little extra to indicate an emotion, something Renarin had noticed his kind did unconsciously after speaking a short sentence.
Renarin, I respect you, Cal, Dalinar, all of you. But don't you agree? Don't you think that a Singer ought to have some involvement?
You're right, of course, Renarin said, flipping the buckle open in his fingers.
He could imagine how Relaine must feel, constantly surrounded by people who had enslaved his. And
storms, he found it so much easier to read what Relaine was thinking when he hummed those rhythms to indicate his emotional state. Why couldn't humans do something like that?
When he talked to Relaine, the entire world opened up to Renarin. He was no longer the blind one in conversations, struggling to figure out what everyone else was feeling, while they all picked up on it effortlessly. It was a skill he'd had to practice, and he was proud of the improvements he'd made. With Relaine, he didn't need that effort, and it made the entire conversation more relaxing, right up until Relaine asked something that sent a spike of panic through Renarin.
Can I touch you?
What?
Renarin said.
Wearing these faces makes me nervous, Relaine said, putting his hand to his head and running his fingers through the Vaden woman's hair. I find the rhythms hard to hear, and this body isn't just a light weaving. I don't feel my carapace anymore. It unnerves me.
Right.
With someone else, Relaine would have simply reached out to grab their shoulder for support, but Renarin liked people to ask first.
Right. Right. That was what Relaine was asking.
He nodded, and then tried to hum his emotions, which made Relaine smile. Relaine took Renarin by the upper arm and held on, breathing deeply and humming to himself. Renarin felt in return an unanticipated fire from that touch, a warmth that spread through him like the one that others had always expected him to feel, told him he would, but which he'd never experienced from the women his aunt and others presented for him. Should he say something? Like what? I know we were just talking about the enslavement of your people, but what's your opinion on courting humans? Storms, it would be so awkward. Renarin didn't think he had it in him. Why ruin something nice? This was good enough, right?
Very well,
Relaine said, humming to what Renarin thought was resolve.
How do we find Shallan?
Others are still out there waiting?
Renarin asked, forcing himself to stay on task. It was the fate of the world they were trying to influence. He felt selfish for letting his attention wander from that.
Yes, Relaine said, letting go, unfortunately, and walking over to peek out the front of the tent. Since it started raining, they've all been standing around.
He hummed to peace, accompanying the patter of rain on the tent.
It's the high storm, Renarin, but different, more soothing. I like this sensation. Anyway, I see a number of them who look important, though the old man is under a canopy.
Those are the heralds, Renarin said. We have to assume Shallan is with them, and our enemies too. Finding her and not them is going to be difficult, particularly for me, Relaine. I'm not good at subtext when it's my face, let alone when it's on someone else's face hiding behind yet a third face.
Yeah, Relaine said to irritation. Humans don't always make a lot of sense.
However, Renarin considered a moment. There's something I can do with my powers, Relaine. Well, it's hard to explain. Gliss says that light weaving should be one of our searches, but when I've tried it, I get something else.
What does it do? Relaine asked.
I think it shows me people's souls, Renarin whispered, and their futures. Like I said, I don't really understand it, but I think maybe it would help here, because if we can see people's souls,
we can see who's who, Relaine said with a nod. But if you do it, try not to be too obvious.
This, Gliss said to him, his voice distant, this will be useful. This will be good. Try.
Encouraged, Renarin drew in stormlight. It permeated this place, and he'd already been holding a little unconsciously. Now he knelt and motioned for Relaine to sit. Renarin cupped his palms and breathed out, capturing the light in a sphere maybe 6 inches across, spinning, glowing above his hand.
Please, if you can, he thought, let me see, and let him see.
The shadows that light cast sometimes showed Renarin things, a little like the window visions. The ones he could make on purpose were less distinct, more vague, but at least he could control their timing. Relaine stared into the sphere, and the light it cast from him made an image. A singer, standing as if on a border, 1 foot in the world of men, represented by a city with human architecture, another foot in the world of singers, with each building in the more flowing designs of his people. He wore half a Bridge IV uniform, half a singer robe, accentuating his carapace. All split, right down the middle. It was a clearer vision than Renarin usually got, and it seemed Relaine saw the same thing when staring into the light in Renarin's hand. For a while, Dalinar just enjoyed the rain and the strange warmth. Nearby, rock buds opened up and flushed with sudden color, their shells going from brown to a vibrant orange-red, spouting lifespren. Vines extended, grass coming from its holes and stretching long blades toward the sky, like a man waking from a deep slumber. Basins caught the rain, and he saw creme dishware near one of the cook fires.
Be warned, the wind said. The storm could be very cruel, and honor modulated it only in specific cases. I was frightened of it at times. The singers have armor for a reason.
Why?
Gav asked, surprising Dalinar by interacting with the Spren.
Why are you nice?
We are what Adel Nalsium left, the wind said. And even the storm, before honor, could be pled with at times.
The Stormfather never told me that, Dalinar said. The Stormfather says the storm simply is, that it has no choice but to destroy.
This is Roshar. Nothing merely is. Everything thinks. Everything has a choice. Watch, as humans choose.
Gav walking hand in hand with Navani, the three crossed the ground to join Jezrian with a small group looking to the sky, arms spread. The king took a long, deep breath, uncaring that his fine clothing was getting wet. He nodded to them, then he turned to the scouts Dalinar had noticed earlier.
All right, Jezrian said. Kalak has finally decided to join us. You may give your report.
It's him, a scout said,
a dark-skinned man with a birthmark on his cheek. Storms, that was Nail.
Dalinar had met him once. Your friend, Jezrian, I'm sure of it.
El is dead,
Jezrian whispered.
I stabbed him myself.
And yet he lives, Nail said. Jezrian, if El has joined the Fused, not only are our enemies being reborn, but they are recruiting the strongest and most talented singers to immortality. We have to counter it, or we will lose this war.
Ishar was correct all along, Jezrian, Channa said by his side as she'd been in each previous vision. This is Passion's doing. Our god has fully betrayed us.
I believe we betrayed him first, Jezrian said softly. The moment I acknowledged that Neil had been correct, things started changing. He was never Passion, Channa. Always Odium.
How long has it been since that day? Navani said. I sometimes lose track of time.
Over 40 years, Jezrian said. 43 long years of war.
Dalinar winked at her, appreciating her clever manipulation of the conversation to get them information.
Are we planning campaigns? Perhaps battle maps I can see?
Maybe one of those would work for an anchor to the future.
Later, Jezrian said. This isn't the time. You know that.
Well, a map probably wouldn't get him far enough. He needed something persistent, something that would still be here in 1,000 years, and still relevant. His eyes opened wide as the answer occurred to him. He was about to witness the founding of the Oath Pact, and as part of that, 10 eternal weapons would be formed, a link to each and every desolation, the Honor Blades. And if he was still Kallak, one would form in his own hands, an anchor that could carry him thousands of years into the future.
That's the answer, he thought, excited. That has to be possible, and it will come straight to me if I play my role right and don't disrupt what is happening.
Renarin held the light for Relaine to see.
That's marvelous, Relaine said. How do you do it?
I just breathe out, Renarin said, and the light gathers. I ask nicely, too. That helps.
Ask nicely?
Yeah, the light seems to respond more when I think a little request.
Tumi called me the Bridger of Minds,
Relaine said, staring into the sphere.
Important singers have titles. That's my future. My fate.
Nothing is fated, Renarin said. I learned that painfully, Relaine. There is only possibility and chance, maybe with nudges from outside forces. What comes in the future is our choice.
Like your father, Relaine said. Not joining Odium at the Battle of Thalen Field.
Yes, Renarin said. Unless... storms. Unless it was still to come. Not forced to follow Odium, but going willingly as part of their agreement.
Relaine held out his own hand, hesitantly trying to breathe out stormlight, making a few attempts and not getting anything.
Don't force it, Renarin said. Try being relaxed.
Try being relaxed, Relaine said, while wearing a human woman's body and seeking a pair of assassins who want to control the world, as I keep seeing faces of one of the unmade in patterns of dust on the ground. Right. No problem.
Nice rhythm,
Renarin said, amused at how this particular one emphasized the sarcasm.
Thanks, Relaine said.
Renarin dismissed his sphere and left Relaine to it, instead checking out the front of the large tent. In the camp beyond, thick tarps dripped with water from the continuing rainfall. The air was cold, crisp, and wet.
Yasna would love this, Renarin thought,
taking in the antiquated clothing, the weapons chipped from stone. His father and Navani had arrived to speak with some people in clothes more colorful than most, though still relatively simple by modern terms. He could, as before, see Dalinar and Navani as themselves. They weren't hidden by their spren the way both the Ghostbloods and Renarin's group were, and...
Damnation! Was that Gavinor? Why had Dalinar and Navani brought a child into the spiritual realm? Who among that group with his father was secretly an enemy? Who was a friend? Gliss, he thought, I need to be able to use my powers without alerting everyone in the room. Is there a stealthier way to shine my light on them?
Not that I know of, Gliss said, but we will learn more as we grow. We will become more as we grow. Perhaps?
Not much help for now, but he held out his hand, absently realizing it was an unsleeved safe hand, which was amusing, and tried forming a small light. Unfortunately, it was too distant to reveal anything about the group outside. Renarin puzzled through options as behind him, Relaine hummed an excited rhythm.
I got some, he said. A little bit at least. It came out and is forming.
Excellent, Renarin said, glancing at the desk where a few gemstones had been set out. Raw, uncut gemstones, yes, but glowing nonetheless. What if he stood over there and made light? Maybe no one would notice it came from him. Or, well, he was imitating a herald, wasn't he? Maybe they could use their powers in the open. He was Vedeletev, an edge dancer. That wouldn't fit. But Relaine seemed to be Palaya, who was a truth watcher, so it should be fine for him.
That could work, maybe, Gliss said. Also, maybe if you use less light, the effects might be less noticeable.
Lots of maybes in that statement. As he was thinking, Renarin saw the group, including his father and aunt, striding across the wet ground toward their tent. Renarin pulled the flaps closed.
They're coming back and—
He cut off as he found Relaine kneeling and holding a sphere of light, wide-eyed. In the light cast by that sphere, Renarin saw himself and Relaine. They were kissing.
Oh, storms, there wasn't time for this.
They're coming, Renarin said, rushing to him. Dismiss the sphere!
How? Relaine asked. I don't even know how I summoned it.
The front flaps of the tent opened, and people began to pile in. Before Dalinar could explain to Navani his plan to get an honor blade, then use that as an anchor, Jezrian started walking and Dalinar decided he should stick close. Together they joined Ishar. The Elder Herald stood a slight distance apart from the others, hands clasped behind his back. He was with a woman who could have been Alethi, or maybe not. She had silvery hair. They were the only two who had chosen to stand under cover when the rains arrived.
Batar,
Nail said to the woman with Ishar, making another of the odd gestures Dalinar didn't understand, touching fingers to forehead.
I find myself oddly glad I never managed to kill you.
Nail, she said. Always the brilliant conversationalist. I've news you need to hear.
I don't really care, Nail said, his words stiff, clipped. I'm heading back out on patrol.
Jezrian sighed. He looked to Dalinar for help.
Must we rehash old arguments? Dalinar said carefully. Can we not let the past fade and look to the future?
Agreed, Navani said. Human must stand with human in this world.
Jezrian nodded to the rest of the camp, particularly some Makibaki soldiers nearby.
They listen to you, Nail, even if you don't rule. Please, let us do this together.
Just because I'm older than them is no reason for me to rule, Nail said. We don't work the same way you do, Elfman. Thankfully.
Please, Navani said, gentle. If there's information to share, we all need to hear it.
She was quickly learning how to manipulate the situation.
Midius is right, Jezrian said, nodding to Navani, which gave Dalinar a start.
Midius, that was their name for wit. Dalinar had assumed she was in Vedeletev's body again, but evidently not. They'd appeared hand in hand, so maybe the vision had needed to place them into bodies of people standing near one another. Jezrian moved toward a large nearby tent, and the others joined him. Channa, the bodyguard, Ishar, the elderly sage,
Batar, counselor to the rest, Shalash, who was grown now, and Navani as Wit, Dalinar in the body of Kalak, finally Nail, with a sigh. Together, this group was 7 of the 10 heralds, plus Wit. As Dalinar entered the tent, he recognized Pelaya instantly, wearing green cloth that stood out so much from the furs of the others. With tan skin and a Vaiden look, she was light-weaving. She sat on the floor inside the tent, and a globe of light hovered above her hand. Behind them, Nail hissed, anger spren boiling at his feet.
"You swore you wouldn't use the powers any longer, Elfman. This is forbidden!"
"We need to know what is coming," Chesrian said, "and Prala sees the truth as it might be. She always has."
"That's 8, Navani whispered to Dalinar, still hand in hand with Gav, who glanced around, interested. At the moment, he seemed more curious than afraid. The others ignored him, as one might a lingering emotion spren. Of all those here, Dalinar was most interested in Nail and his explicit hostility toward the others. He'd recently seen visions of this man, perhaps visions of this very day. Nail had been an enemy to the others. But where was Talm, the one they abandoned? As the group entered the tent, including some Boran and Makabaki bodyguards, Dalinar searched among them. He'd met Talm in the modern day, and the hulking soldier would stand out in a crowd. He wasn't here. There was one other person in the room, though, one who had been hidden in a darkened corner but was revealed as they lit lanterns. This had to be Vedalev, a woman with long dark hair bearing a slight curl. She looked Alethi or Vaiden to him, though her skin was paler, like she was from near the Horneater Peaks. Navani's breath caught audibly.
"What?" Dalinar whispered to her.
"I was in her body before," Navani whispered. "Now I get to see her. Vedalev, keeper of the keys."
"I've always wondered what they were the keys to," he said.
Scholars tended to swear by her name.
"The keys of immortality," Navani whispered, her eyes wide as Vedel turned to the gathered group. "It's happening."
"It is time," Jezreel said to Vedel. "Is he ready?"
Vedel didn't respond, looking strangely panicked.
"Vedel," Jezreel asked, "it is time. Show us."
As everyone entered the tent, Renarin sought the shadows by instinct. Relaine continued kneeling on the ground, and fortunately, none of them thought his light weaving was odd. At least, not until a tall Makabaki man at the back snapped that they shouldn't be using the powers. Renarin stepped forward, hoping to draw attention away from Relaine, but as he did, his father looked straight at him, sparking an entire host of emotions. Happiness at seeing someone who could take charge, shame at not feeling like he should take charge himself, embarrassment at not being able to say anything to indicate who he was, even a bit of resentment. It was always there, part of their relationship. You couldn't banish such things with a wave of the hand. Those thoughts and worries all fled as a stately, Alethi-looking man, probably Jezreel, spoke to Renarin.
"It is time," he said. "Is he ready?"
"Storms."
"Vedel?" Jezreel asked. "It is time. Show us."
And the whole room waited for Renarin to answer.